Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Let's talk about Israel, talk about the division. I think that we just need to understand it, especially as diaspora communities. You know, we are removed from the politics of what happens in Israel. On one hand, that is a tremendous blessing for us, because especially like here in South Africa, whether you are Sephardi, whether you're Ashkenaz, whether you're Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, Modern Orthodox, Haredi, everybody gets along. Everybody, you know, respects everybody else. We are a united community. I think that that's one of the things that makes us very unique. In Israel, they don't have that. And so we are very much distanced from that. So joining me right now to explain it to me, to explain to the five-year-old in my head of where Israeli society is in terms of harmony or disharmony, is Knaan Lidor. He's a contributor to the Times of Israel, and he's also your correspondent for Hi FM. Good morning, Knaan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm as good as one can expect. Rocket barrage today into the north. Yes. I live in Haifa, so you know we're all sitting on the news, on the suitcases, on the news of the suitcases, as we say in Hebrew. I'm glad that you're approaching this, you're channeling your five-year-old, because I want to take you to an ice cream shop.
Yes, let's do that. Let's go to an ice cream shop. I'd much prefer that.
Okay, so
me and Joe Biden.
One I had in mind is called Golda. It's a chain of upscale ice cream, and it has a branch at the opposite, actually, the Kiryat base, defense establishment base, and that's the focus of weekly protests here in Israel for the past, I think, half a year. We've had, once the initial shock from the war kind of subsided, we've had stormy protests each Saturday night. And when the protesters are done around Kaplan Street and the Kirya base, they go to the ice cream shop, the Golda ice cream shop, to kind of catch their breath. It's very, very warm and humid here now.
Yes.
And after visiting those protests for a number of times, I noticed that, unbeknownst to most, there is a hotel, that the Play Hotel, that houses refugees, evacuees, whatever term you want to apply to them, from the north, from Kiryat Shmona. And Kiryat Shmona is kind of the other Israel, the second Israel, as we call it. Poor, mostly Sephardic border community that has suffered decades of neglect, and they put them there because of the Hezbollah and Iranian rockets into the north. So they moved them to the heart of Tel Aviv, you know, Silicon Valley, and at the heart of the protest. So you have this juxtaposition, yeah, of two very different populations. In fact, couldn't be more different. And, you know, they look the same because we all wear the same Nikes and Adidas, and yet maybe it says something that there is constant friction between those population groups. And at first, I couldn't believe it. I sat down with the refugees. They said, yeah, it's very uncomfortable here. There's constant friction. There's always curses. There's always altercations. And I really wanted to know how. I asked them, how does this happen? And then I got a live demonstration, because one of the women I spoke to said, listen, it's abrasive, the noise, the vuvuzelas, the megaphones, it's just terrible. And as she was saying this, three women who came to protest to end the war and accept all of Hamas's terms and get the hostages back, they said, oh, this is uncomfortable to you. And then one of them held up the poster of one of the hostages and says, do you think it's convenient for him? Does this bother you? Do you think he's inconvenienced? And then this debate that we've, both contingents of Israeli society, have been having for the past 11 months started happening right in front of me. And the arguments were very well known, but the passion in which they were delivered, you know, one party says that the protests only bring up only ratchet up Hamas's asking price for the hostages because they show how anxious Israeli society is to get them back. The other side says, well, you have a contract with the state. You're committed to do it. I don't care about your war. I don't care about the long-term consequences. You have an obligation to these people right now. A very painful debate full of, you know, pretty good arguments, either side, full of heart and soul, kind of gut-wrenching, and then Bibi looms, you know, the accusations start flying.
Yeah.
Bibi doesn't care about you, you're his lackey, you're
his... Who's driving that narrative? Who's driving that narrative? Because I think that, you know, if Israelis didn't undermine the intelligence of Hamas so much, they might actually sit up and think, well, if, you know, as a strategist, Knan, that's something that I would, if I was going to try and weaken my enemy, that would be, you know, this, what is the word? I'm having a moment, a senior moment. I can't remember the word. But it is, it's going to create distrust amongst Israelis. I mean, Israel went from before the 7th of October attacks, Israel was having protests. Every Saturday night they were protesting. The final protest, I think, was the putting up a mechitza in Tel Aviv. You remember that? I'm sure you haven't forgotten that. Then
that was a riot.
That was a riot, exactly. That is what that was, a riot, and that's very unusual for Israel. But that's how it had escalated. Then you've got these the attacks of the 7th of October. The entire Israeli nation is united. The enemy does not want Israel to be united. All of a sudden, shops in Tel Aviv that had never wanted to be kosher, had been the furthest thing from kosher, all became kosher so that the army could, so that religious soldiers could eat anywhere, right? I mean, how has this happened? I mean, subversion, that is the word that I was looking for, right? That you've got these subversive messages, subversive agendas being driven in Israel. And nobody's sitting up and saying, hold on a second, let's just put that aside. Let's unite for now, beat the enemy, and then move forward.
So let's maybe establish a timeline first. You know, Hamas has had to plan this for at least 2 years, and that predates the judicial overhaul protests. And so although they know us well, it's a bit too sophisticated, I think, for Hamas to plan this division. And
why?
Indeed, as you mentioned, Kathy, well, because at the time when they started planning this, there was no visible division. There was only, you know, what we thought was a pretty cohesive society. And then the judicial overhaul happened, and then, you know, things went sideways. And also, there were abductions and offensive terrorist action before that, you know, Gilad Shalit, the 2006 attack by Hezbollah. And so this was part of their modus operandi. And then we just didn't know it, but we were so broken and brittle going into this that the initial gut reaction of uniting, the instinct, gave way to the divisions that have plagued us independently, I think, from the conflict of Hamas. But I think at the core of it, the division is about meaning and purpose. Because if we are here just to live our lives as normally and conveniently as possible, then indeed it makes sense to not expose our children to the rockets and to try to appease the crocodile and to try to just make the best of a bad situation. If we have purpose, if we are here to own this land, to really carve out Jewish sovereignty for a nation after 2,000 years in a viable way, well, then the long term kind of slides into view, and then you weigh that up against the pain, the emotional pain that we're all feeling over these dozens of people and the dozens who have been killed, who have been taken hostage. And that's, I think, that's the dispute. Are we just trying to get by, or are we trying to build something? And it's very difficult to build something when half of your population doesn't seem really interested in it. And it brings very sober, very...
I hear. I would love to have this conversation with you. Unfortunately, we need to get to news headlines. But always love your reports. Loved speaking to you. Love your insights. And thank you so much. That's Kanaan Lidor. He's a contributor to the Times of Israel. He's Europe correspondent to High FM.